Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to the Ghibli Attack, the podcast that spends tons of money exploring the universe of the world's greatest animation studio, Studio Ghibli. I'm Michael Leader.
I'm Steph Watts.
And I'm Jake Cunningham, and my money's in the merch.
So join us on our quest into the glorious physical tat of Studio Ghibli. I'm not even sure if physical tat, that's a bit redundant, that
it's
phrase.
A good but... band name.
We are talking tat, not tattoos, although we should have got matching tattoos on our Japan trip.
I'll save that for the next one.
Yeah, there's still time.
We are today talking about the things we bought in Japan. Now, Jake, I think it was on one of our previous Japan episodes where you said that we came back from Japan in 2019 having been reserved, too reserved for our liking, perhaps, in some ways. So when we went this time, we decided to indulge ourselves as much as we could, as reasonably good.
Yes, I think we went with the tactic last time of saving as much suitcase space and being economical on the way out. But that was kind of shooting ourselves in the foot, because that meant little space on the way back. But because of the airlines that we booked with on this way, suddenly, like, we're all kind of familiar with Ryanair, EasyJet. That's our normal lifestyle. We're not used to having hold luggage. And all of a sudden, all three of us have got massive suitcases that we barely made a dent in with our own clothes. And so, once you've stuck a few microphones in there, maybe a couple of cameras, there's still a good third of it left. So we had no choice but to fill the remaining space in our suitcases with Ghibli merch. And that was a challenge. And I think we exceeded in completing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're coming off the back of two episodes now. We did Universal Studios Japan, we did Ghibli Park, and in that Ghibli Park episode, we said we'll do merch next. So if you've not listened to either of those two episodes, listeners, listen back for the actual cultural stuff, the fun stuff we did. Because now we're just going to do a show and tell of what we bought in the shops. Before we dive into Ghibli Park, though, did we get anything merch-wise at USJ?
No, I don't know if we did. I mean,
not
unless you
myself.
Count themed food.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, in a way, I'd rather that we hadn't had that experience. So I don't think it's worth talking about.
Yeah, I got something as a gift for someone who I know listens to this podcast I've not seen yet. Oh. So I don't want to necessarily give that away on air and ruin any surprises. There was one bit of merch, if there was such a thing as merch regret, which we've had in the past, if there was such a thing for USJ, it would be that I didn't buy the small tiny notebooks for their strange new Hollywood themed set area where they had Jaws, Mel's Drive-In, and what would the other one be? A Jurassic Park. It was the Spielberg, George Lucas stuff. And on the notebooks, they had cartoon versions of the person in a Jaws costume or a Jurassic Park T-Rex costume, what they did on their time off in the park. So it's just them hanging out on a street corner, eating a burger or drinking a coffee, which I thought was really fun thing to do with something that, you know, IPs that are usually very sewn up.
Yeah, do with them. Well, I think we saw going around the park, a lot of it was really ugly. And like going back to that word tat, this was supremo tat. And some of the prices on it were pretty horrendous as well. But it was only really Jaws that had anything that I thought would be of interest, because Jaws has the benefit of having an iconic, amazing logo. Mm. And you kind of just whack that on anything and some shark teeth, it kind of looks cool. And Minions ride doesn't quite have that edge.
Well, tell you what, you don't want to say that and then have the Peanuts podcast or the Mario podcast coming after us saying, no, actually their brand of choice is superior to Ghibli in terms of merch. So we should probably
I'm not saying their brand is bad. I'm just saying the merch is bad. It's a difference.
I thought Snoopy Studios had some good merch, and I did pick up some bits for friends. So, but mystery boxes, so not sure what's in there.
Who knows what'll be in there. So let's talk about Ghibli merch. I think in our previous episode, we talked about absolutely everything up to the point of crossing the threshold into the Ghibli Park shop. And I think I said in that episode, or one of us said, it was very close to closing time. And that was the point where, after quite a relaxing day, you could feel the buzz. You could feel everyone's having their own personal supermarket sweep moment, grabbing what they can. And I remember as we were walking around and it was getting closer to closing time and beyond, they had a sort of kettling system going on where members of staff were forming a human barrier, slowly encroaching into the shopping area and funneling everyone towards the tills. So if you hadn't looked at the stuff that was in the foyer, God help you. You can't go today, come back another day. But let's just talk about our route through that, what we were looking for, what we picked up. Who wants to go first?
I think I bought the least. I think I was treating myself, but in the way that I usually shop anyway, of being like, do I really need this? I don't know. I'll put it in my basket. And then I did a circuit and then took some things out of the basket. And then I turned around to see you two with like stares of intense concentration as you just went round sweeping everything into your baskets, and thought I'd slightly underbought, but I got a lot of little bits and bobs that I thought would bring me joy. My favourite being a soy sauce dish in the shape of no face's face, so that when you pour, it's white ceramic dish, and when you pour a little sauce in, it will obviously go darker and reveal his face, which was a lot of fun. I got a lot of little patches. I got a Kiki stick-on sew-on patch with Gigi on it. I got a really good Ghibli warehouse sticker for my roller derby helmet, which was just a big eye, which I thought was pretty cool. I liked the Ghibli warehouse specific merch in there. It wasn't necessarily just, you know, here's a big Totoro plushie and stuff like that. It was like some stuff that was really specific to just the Grand Warehouse, which was cool. What else did I get? I got a nice notebook. I know, Michael, you've probably got many more notebooks to go through than me, but it was a very nice Kiki-themed notebook, which I'll probably use next year. I'm saving that. And then a lot of like washi tape, which is the kind of nice paper tape that you can use for scrapbooking and sticking things to walls if you want. And a little tree ornament of an acorn with a little Totoro inside. I think that was all of my Ghibli shop merch. So lots of... Wait, no, sorry, one more thing. I got two little face flannels, which just really made me laugh, because one just has Porco Rosso's face on it, and then one is the big Omu from Nausicaa, which I just thought was great. So yeah, those. I think that was all my Ghibli shop merch.
I mean, you say that was not very much, but that was quite a lot.
That was still quite a lot, yeah.
Great, because it's something we laugh about. For many years, there was this presumption or mythology, mysticism around Ghibli that they don't do merch. They're not like the Disney store. They wouldn't dare cheapen the brand by doing all this tat. And then you actually go to Japan, you go to the Ghibli shops, and they have everything. all the characters, deep cut characters that you wouldn't necessarily think of, like the Omu, as you said, are being trotted out and put on something or turned into something. And they're generally very high quality. But if you were a merch fiend, there's plenty for you there. I'll come back to notebooks. But yeah, I think my approach to it, I was very much approaching it as everything we do on this trip ends up being relevant. The amount of times, whether that's in something we're writing in the books or talking about on a podcast, talking about in personal conversation, I'm still bringing up stuff that we learned or saw on our 2019 trip. We do it in our live shows as well. We talk a lot about the museum and how the museum informs what our view of Ghibli as a company, Miyazaki and co, as creatives. So I grabbed as much as I could just because it all feeds into that general overarching view of the company. And that is, I use that as my sort of internal excuse, because I always have that little voice of, do you really need it? And I'm, you know, beloved by friends and family as the person who will go in a shop and spend 2 hours in a shop and then come out with nothing. Often to be seen with an arm full of stuff, be that books or records or DVDs, and then slowly putting them back one by one and walking out. So I was able to shut that guy down with the idea of, this is all for research purposes. But it's true what you say, Steph. I was quite taken aback by how much Ghibli Park specific merch there was. Mm. I got a bunch of exercise book sized notebooks that were park themed. And actually, it was on reflection much later that I realised what one of them actually showed, which was, we talked about in the previous episode, how in the park, around the park, they have the little statues relating to Ghibli films. There's one exercise book where it has all of those designs in there as, you know, the designs on the page and on the cover. And I just bought loads of little notebooks, little notelets, little pens. I got a nice Kiki's Delivery Service pen and a Ghibli Park pen. But one thing I did that you guys didn't do was I ran back to the bookshop they have there, which is on that imagined shopping street like from the 1960s, and it's floor to ceiling of bookcases, bookshelves with everything you'd want from Ghibli. And that was where I just went maybe a little bit wild in terms of grabbing stuff, because I just know that not only would I enjoy reading it, you never know if something becomes relevant for a podcast or a conversation or whatever in the future. So I went back and I grabbed the Yoshifumi Kondo art book, which is lots of street scenes and sketches from his observational kind of view of life, because I remember seeing that on the last trip and I didn't get that. I grabbed the periodicals and books about the park itself. There's like a big glossy one with lots of pictures in and a few essays and interviews with like Goro and other people. And then there's a small guidebook which goes through the park blow by blow. I also grabbed the Mr. Doe and the Egg Princess lobby pamphlet, which has lots of stuff in it related to that short. I could have probably grabbed all of I was toying with grabbing those for all the shorts, knowing that I will probably never see these films, so this is the closest I'll get to seeing them. But I decided not to. Likewise, they have like all the DVDs in the park shop. I'm like, should I buy these knowing I can't actually speak Japanese? So I might have to then find a way to put a fan sub onto a DVD. Nah, that was madness. So I stuck with stuff, as I said, lots of notebooks, pens. I did get a nice little pin badge of Nonaka-kun, the guy from Ghibli's, or Ghibli's episode 2, which is a short that has never been formally released in the UK, although in the US it's an extra on the Cat Returns Blu-ray. And talking about surprise of what sort of merch they had there, the fact that they had so much Ghibli's stuff there was a surprise, but I like that guy, so I got a pin badge of his.
Well, I think it's not just Ghibli's. I think that was a surprise across the whole park. And we kind of had that with the museum last time as well. The kind of hierarchy of presentation is perhaps different than what we might expect. And we joked about there being a lot of earwig. But I suppose that kind of shows the more democratic approach within the studio of what they're highlighting and what they aren't. Unfortunately, the red turtle maybe got
that would have been
a quarter of a quarter of what other ones got. But then, like, so, well, like, you're from Up and Poppy Hills, and your Marnies are very much like presented like as important within the canon as your Hayao Miyazaki films.
Yeah, and they had like a big chest of drawers, didn't they, with all the pin badges in, and you could just spend ages just opening them up and seeing what they had. Speaking of badges, I just remembered, I looked over my shoulder, related to the Ghibli food exhibition that we went in, they had little magnetic or pin badges of certain food moments, and I toyed with, as a joke, getting you, Jake, a shepherd's pie. But I got the fried breakfast from Howell's, and Jake, you're holding up.
I got the ramen from Ponyo.
And are they badges or magnets?
They're magnets.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have, like, just up from the computer, there's a little metal storage container. So it's literally, it's right up in front of me whenever I look, which is really nice. Yeah, because there was the exhibition on the food, I was really happy to see all of this at the other side, because we wang on about the food stuff so much. But even this is kind of just a nice object in itself that isn't obviously Ghibli. It's just kind of a nice weird thing. And because it's a magnet, the fact that it sits vertically on a surface rather than horizontally gives it a kind of magical allure as well, because it's like this kind of hyperreal sculpture. It does kind of look like the noodles should just be falling out at any moment. It's great.
But Jake, I was very envious because you went to a corner of the shop that I don't think Steph or I even thought about going towards. But then afterwards, I was like, damn it, I probably should have gone there.
Yes.
Where it's, yeah.
Well, this was the only thing that I knew that I was doing. Everything else was vibe-based and seeing what I fancy. And but I knew that I've been sitting on the Wind Rises vinyl and the Princess Kaguya vinyl on my Discogs, the kind of marketplace of vinyl, for ages. They're always on my watch list. But they are not cheap records. They are double discs and they're beautiful. They're my two favourite scores, but they're 75 quid here in the UK. And with the exchange rate, a brand new one of each from the Ghibli shop came in at less than 30. So, you know, I had to do it to them. And I did. And really, I'm thinking now, I should have got more. but I should be grateful with what I've got. But yeah, they're great. I've already listened to them a few times. There's really something I didn't know is there's really beautiful etching on side four. So there's just enough music to actually make three sides rather than the full four. And you flip over to the fourth side and there's an engraving of certain moments or characters. So you've got, like, you know, the amazing baby Kaguya. There's this etching of her in the vinyl, and then the bamboo shoot, and it's just a very nice touch, and very happy to have both of those in the vinyl collection. But we'll talk more about vinyl in a bit. And then the rest of it, I was just kind of grabbing. I did have the sad moment where I had a t-shirt that was right up my street, where I tend to wear just plain t-shirts, and so if I'm gonna get a merchy bandy thing, if it's quite plain but then has a back print, I quite like it, because it's like my version of when people have a tattoo that's kind of in a hidden place. Where it's like, I know it's there. And yeah, you're just seeing a plain white t-shirt, but under this cardigan, that says Ghibli's Grand Warehouse in quite a cool nautical theme. And it was a medium, and I'm a medium. But of course, I'm not a Japanese medium. I needed a large, and the larges were out of stock. So I couldn't get that, but I got lots of other little things, like the magnet ramen, the a little Ghibli Park badge, and a couple of the patches that you mentioned, Steph, that, because you and I are so extreme with our sports, that I will also be incorporating into my sports and putting my patches onto my climbing bag. And then when I was a kid, my granddad would always get me like the polystyrene plane building that were in corner shops. Did you ever do those?
Yeah.
And there was a Porco Rosso one of them. So I haven't built it yet, but I'm saving that for maybe the after Christmas as a little present to myself for a few minutes. But crucially, and most important for this conversation, I have got two unopened mystery badge packs to do on this very call.
You saved it right until now.
Of course, so yeah, I did.
They had a central, you know, near the tills, they had all of the... We'll talk about this again because there are lots of mystery stuff. It's something I love about Japanese shopping culture is they really love some sort of prize element or surprise element. And they had all of the Ghibli badges, mystery boxes that have toys in and so on in this sort of central area. And I'd already opened mine up, but I'm fascinated to see. So, Jake, what do you see on the cover first before you open them up?
So I've got one from the Totoro Milk Cap series. And there are 10 different designs in here, all related to your friend of mine, Totoro. And then the other one is the complete Ghibli series, 25 available designs in here. So, I mean, let's not keep the listeners waiting any longer. They need to know. I'm going to start with the full 25. Get that.
ASMR.
Okay, we're in. We're in, folks. What is it going to be? Would you believe it? It's Tales from Earthsea.
What's the design on there?
We've got your man, and behind him is the dragon on a lovely kind of soft blue background with a nice yellow title treatment. I'll hold it up to the camera. Maybe we'll have to take photos of some of the stuff we're putting out there. But I can put that up on the pin. I've got into pins. I've got a few pin boards in my little room here. And I can put that up to the trip from last time's Milk Cap one, which was the eyes from the museum. So I'll put those next to each other. All right. And Totoro. Let's see what's in this one. Gonna be. It's a screaming I've forgotten his name. What's the little boy?
In.
It begins with a K. In Totoro.
Cater.
Cater. It's a screaming tater. He's screaming at me.
Let's have a look.
There he is.
Oh yeah, saying your house is haunted.
Yeah. Oh great.
Hi listeners. Just butting in with a very quick correction here. The boy in My Neighbor Totoro is actually called Kanta, not Kata. I think there was some crossover in the old brain box there, getting Kanta and Sata, the boy from Grave of the Fireflies, mixed up and turned into a whole new character called Kata. But no, sorry, we got it wrong. We were running on tea and toddies recording this episode. He's actually called Kanta. Back to the show.
So I think that's it for merch. I just got postcards and stuff, but you know.
Yeah, postcards and bits and bobs. I mean, maybe we can like all take pictures of our stuff and we can like do a big thread or a massive Instagram post with everything on there, because we can't go through everything bit by bit. We'll talk about mystery boxes in a second, but I, as I said, have great envy about some of the things that both of you have picked up. Jake, you mentioned vinyl, and maybe the reason why I didn't even want to think about vinyl is that I knew the potential best bit of vinyl we could have got all holiday had already been bought by Steph a couple of days earlier. So this is Joe's garage. In Osaka, was that?
No,
is that
where Kyoto.
I remember we were walking down a road. We were about to go into one of those covered shopping food market areas, weren't we?
We were about to go into Nishiki Market, the long covered food market in Kyoto.
And I spotted the Andy Warhol banana peel cover from the Velvet Underground and Nico as like floor 2 or 3 in a building, and it was called Joe's Garage. So for me, that's Velvet Underground and Frank Zappa references, which means we're definitely going in, guys. And Steph, talk us through your experience of this record shop leading up to the purchase.
So I think he'd only opened for about 5 minutes, hadn't he, Joe, of Joe's Garage.
He spoke very little English, but he was very happy to see us.
He was happy. I did a quick scan while you guys were going through everything. And then I think I just wandered over to a section. I can't even remember what the section was called. It was just like...
It wasn't soundtracks, jazz and it was like world jazz.
Because I was looking for soundtracks, and it was some sort of kind of, jazz or world or electronic maybe. And then just went in at random and then picked out the score for Nauschka for about £15. So obviously had to go for that. And I did wait until we got to our hotel in Nagoya to open it and have a proper look inside. But beautiful. It has kind of lovely shots from the film inside. And then it has a little booklet with the written score as well, like piano sheet music, which is super nice. So,
well, and now, it's in out really of the three condition. Of us, you're the one that could actually make use of that sheet music.
Yes. If anyone's got a spare piano, I will happily play it. What a treat. Considering last time I don't think I bought any vinyl because we didn't have a record player at that point. So this was a really good one to find. And I also, non-Ghibli themed, bought the Japanese press of Band on the Run.
Brilliant.
Which is also great.
Yeah.
But like, we should just to be nerdy for a second. So Jake's buying the Ghibli Records, often represses of these film soundtracks, although Jake's buying soundtracks of films that actually have come out quite recently, so it only had been released on Ghibli Records. You actually got the Animage Records 1980s version, which is incredibly cool. Thank you, Joe. And Band on the Run as well. What a great thing to pick up. I got The Age of Plastic, the album by The Buggles. So one of the five or six songs that Ivo loves at the moment is Video Killed the Radio Star. So I picked that up for him. And I also, it pales in comparison, but I got another Joe Hisaishi 80s anime soundtrack, which is for Arion, which is a film that came out not long after Nauschka and tried to be a similar sort of big sweeping fantasy type epic. And it's another nice big score, but pales in comparison. But what a cool shop. And I even went over to him and said, we just saw, because we both bought Joe Hisaishi albums, I said to the guy, we just saw him in London, 12,500 people, sold out stadium crowd. And he seemed actually baffled by the idea that Joe would play to that size of crowd on the other side of the world. So I think he said he was a massive fan, but also maybe he didn't understand a word we were saying.
One Joe's Garage is another Joe's Wembley.
Yes. Did you get anything from that shop, Jake?
I got Cobalt Hour, Yumi Arai.
Yes, you did.
Which people would recognise from Kiki's Delivery Service. I think you scooped that out, though, and generously handed it to me, Michael. And then I also got Harvest by Neil Young, which has no relation to Ghibli as well, but it's not on streaming, and it's one of my favourite ever albums, and I've never owned it. And again, it's another case of been on the watch list for ages, is always expensive because it's not on streaming. So very happy to have that in the collection now, too.
Yeah, absolute shout out to Joe's Garage. And I think, apart from your Ghibli purchases, I was the only one who bought vinyl other than in that shop. When we were in, where were we at this point? Was that our evening in Nagoya? It was, wasn't it?
Where big shopping evening.
I pulled up a map of local record shops and I bought the soundtrack to Harmageddon, another early 80s anime feature, which had music by Keith Emerson of Emerson, Lake and Palmer, prog rock legend. That was a cool thing to pick up. But I got that from a place called Banana Record. And the best thing about Banana Record is the bag they have. Let me zoom in so I can actually read it out to you guys. So it's a blue record bag, Banana Record, since 1981. And this is their tagline. Time is streaming like a river, but good music is always good music. Never changes. If you want to get the new thing, you should know the old one. This act doesn't mean that we go back to the past. Rather, when we throw away the difference between the new thing and the old thing, our sensitivity will be free and get new meaning. We are covered with ideal society. What? We have to discover our own world. I don't find myself, but I find music. I reflect myself on the mirror, which is called music. I am music. ... I mean, I love that stuff. I think we'd mentioned in a previous episode, like, generally, any bits of that sort of catch copy around the world in Japan, like on the side of shops in like newspapers or in books or whatever, always amazing. Always makes you think. Even more so than just thinking, what the hell do they really mean? But I loved it. That is so cool. I'm keeping that bag for as long as I can. But that's the vinyl. And where should we go next? So we have... Maybe we should talk about our individual quests. Because I remember a great arc from the first trip in 2019 is you, Jake, said, I want to find a poster of Only Yesterday to put on the wall. And I think we all had either our own personal quests or quests that had been given to us by friends or family for the trip. So who wants to go first on the quest? I want to go, Jake, I want you to go first because I love the fact that you had to go on this journey.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, this was not a journey of my choosing. So my friend Joe, who is a lovely, lovely man, said to me very casually, can you get me some One Piece trading cards? And then said they need to be OP-04 or OP-05 as the category on them. Pretty harmless text to receive. And we're going to merch places, we're going to lots of pop culture hideouts, this kind of thing. And the first place, I mean, they basically laughed at me out of the shop because it was only after a couple of tries and texting Joe that it turned out that these were incredibly hard to come by and that he had not told me that. And in a way, that made me want to complete the quest even more. And so every city, and so what was this, 5 cities, when we went past places that had models or stickers or statues or DVDs, whatever it might be, make a beeline for the trading cards. and they were always out. And then I'd think, oh, that looks like the right thing. And I'd send a picture. And it's the wrong thing. Because it's ST01, not OP-5. And so this was a running thread most days whilst we were over there. And then the last day we were in Tokyo. And this is how it played out with only yesterday as well. Where it was the end. And we thought, right, we'll give it, you know, one last swing and see what happens. And we were actually on a side quest for Michael, which we'll get to in a minute, in another building right in Shinjuku. And then just turned a corner, trading card shop. And my thinking had been, right, if these are in demand, the trading card shops are surely the last place they're going to be, because the trading card buyers will buy them from the trading card shop. And so we went to this trading card shop, and there was a pack. There was a pack of One Piece OP-05s. And I thought, I can't believe it. I've done it. There's one pack of five cards or however many it is. And then next to that pack was a box of 120 of them. And this was not an insignificant purchase. And so I had to get the okay from the UK. And there we are. We got the green light. We pressed go, and we bought the One Piece cards. Yeah, so it was a real journey. And actually, Michael, since then, you've had the pleasure of meeting Joe when he has encountered One Piece cards in the wild. And it's a very fun thing. And like, to understand the stock market of One Piece cards has been a real journey over the last month that I never thought I'd take.
What I liked about it, maybe one day we can talk to Joe about it, but there was the ritual to him opening up the packet.
Yeah.
Because he opened up the packet and pulled out the cards and said, actually, the back one is the only one I really care about, but I'm still going to go through looking through all of the 20-odd cards before I get there. Oh, I'm so glad we could make dreams come true with this trip.
But that was a point of a glory for me, Michael, but that same location provided a melancholy end for your quest.
Yeah, so my quest that had been given to me was that my dad had sent me a capsule or a gachapod of miniature Casio watches, which you can look up, and there are lots of press releases and news articles around that over the summer, July, August, saying that they were going to go out around the country and you can find them. So I just had in the back of my head, yeah, maybe we'll find them. We'll see loads of capsule machines, and they are everywhere. They'll be outside corner shops. They'll be inside train stations. They'll have their own dedicated shops or areas within any sort of nerdy shopping place. And we just couldn't find them, could we? We must have looked at, I'd say, 500 capsule machines while we were there. Easily. Maybe close to 1,000. And it gave us a new appreciation of capsule machines. There are so many of them. Even though we're that deep, we probably didn't see that many duplicates. And there were some really fun ones that we saw on that journey, but I did not find the Casio watch one and had to apologize to my dad. Made it up to him by getting him like a souvenir coin from Singapore Airport instead. But we can run through some of the best capsule machines we found out there. I've got it right here. My prized Panda Go Panda shopping bag. I love the fact that there weren't many Ghibli specific capsule machines that we could find, but we did find loads of Ghibli adjacent capsule machines, like Panda ones, Future Boy Conan ones. There was one that was like a regional specific one to the area of Osaka that had a Chie the Brat capsule that we could have got.
There's a Nadia one.
Did we see it? I think we did see Nadia one, didn't we? Yeah, exactly. So lots of that stuff. And I think we all ended up getting some capsules at some point. I've got one which was key rings of particular keyboard combinations. So the one I have is just a shift button and a delete button with the caption permanently delete. And the other ones would be like Control C, Control V, F5. I would have loved an F5. Just sort of, you know, important key combinations in our lives. Well, which ones did you two get? Any highlights?
Well, I think my highlight was the gacha machine off gacha machines. I didn't yep. buy Strong. It, but I think there's a kind of artistry to the gachas in a way, like, and that we did kind of, you see that like the first layer of just merchandise and commercialism, and then gradually as you spend 7 days looking at 1,000 of these things, you see how many of them are approaching abstraction and self-reflection. And there is some really bizarre ones in there. Spoiler for my family's Christmas presents. Don't worry, they don't listen to the show. But I found my brother loves camping. A camping one. Fantastic. My dad's a big fan of the Honda Cub, classic motorbike. Found one of those. And then my mum has a Suzuki Jimny, not a particularly remarkable car, but got one of those. But the Suzuki Jimny is probably my favourite because on the gacha machine, it just said the words, "Life is Jimny." And I like how serious they take their kind of mid-range vehicles.
Oh, yeah. Did you get any, Steph? Was you even on the
I got
pod?
Some for friends and family. A good little one for my dad, which is different types of like film cameras. So we have yet to see what that one is. One that's like different types of coffee making setup. So like a little pour over set and a thermos and stuff like that. And then probably one of the best things I bought for the whole trip, which was a gacha machine that just gave you little framed images of Naruto characters crying really hard.
Yes.
And I was blessed with one of the characters, Shikamaru, crying, and I've stuck it on my wall like a weird little framed picture.
Oh, that's so
yeah,
cool.
That was great. It's just like, yeah, it's not just like, here's some characters from this really popular show. It's like, here's all of them mid the worst point in their life in the show. Like, so good.
That's brilliant. And yeah, I love the fact that they go, because I guess if you had it over here, it would just be like a random toy, it wouldn't, or a random character. It wouldn't be so themed. There wouldn't be such thought put into the various versions you could have. Another quest I was put on was my partner, Mim. She's really into a couple of Japanese brands of mystery boxes at the moment. One is the Smisky characters, who are these sort of small, featureless green blobs that grow in the dark, and you can have them doing various things in the various seasons and collections of that. And there's also Sunny Angels, who are these little angelic cherub figures who were created by somebody who wanted to have them as little mascots for working women so they wouldn't be alone in the office when they go out into the world. What a wonderfully feminist aim to have. But they're amazing, and they have all sorts of very creative collections. And I was given a list in a similar way to how you were, Jake, like, look for this particular kind. And we went to many shops, many places, and couldn't find them. But we did find so many amazing mystery boxes out there. And for Mim, I just basically brought back a big bag of mystery boxes of Ghibli things. And I've got a picture here of them all that I can share, because Ghibli has mystery boxes related to all the films, various characters, and so on. So I got a couple of Kiki's Delivery Service ones, which were just about of Gigi, and I got one of just Gigi talking some sass, and then another one which turned out, so when you have mystery boxes, you see on the side maybe 6 or 7 of what's in the collection, and then there's always a question mark one with a silhouette, like, what's the secret one? And we got the secret one, which is Gigi like shivering and all of its the hair on end, which is very cool. I also got a Whisper of the Heart one, which was the Baron looking absolutely resplendent. Got a little sort of wibbly Totoro, you know, those sort of wibbly wobbly things that always write themselves and have a little jingly thing inside. Got one of those. And not Ghibli related, but I did get a capsule of the Sylvanian Families. And it, the reason why it's got in the mix with the Ghibli things is that it was a sort of nature-themed Sylvanian who's wearing a leaf as a mask. So it looks like it could just be hiding in the background of Princess Mononoke or something. But that stuff was great. So it's a shame, again, failed in that quest. Did I succeed in any of my quests, in fact? I suppose I went back with some unfinished business. Like, I wanted to go back and buy a Satoshi Kon storyboard book. I did that. I developed a quest as we were on the trip to get the massive book, which is the Hayao Miyazaki and the Ghibli Museum tome that is in Japanese and English and is all of the sort of special exhibitions, the designs and sketches and everything about the founding of the museum and the running of the museum. And we brought that home, and that was like my last, my biggest, but also my last main purchase. And it was so big that it wouldn't fit in the case, and I had to carry it on our 25 hours back in the bag as carry-on luggage. I think I also shared my stationary journey on Twitter the other day, where I went a bit mad because I'm into pens and notebooks, but I don't get to buy that stuff so much anymore because it's all so expensive. Like, even if you go into like your supermarket or your WH Smith or your Muji, that stuff isn't as cheap as it's like a couple of pounds extra than it used to be. So it's hard to like buy things randomly on a whim. So I got every time we were in a corner shop and they have these lovely pens and notebooks, I picked up more and more. But I did buy a lot of the Life brand of notebooks. We went into a massive stationery shop called Itoya in Tokyo, in Ginza, and bought a bunch of stuff from there. And that feels like a success on the quest front for me. But
stationery wise, you and I are literally the opposite in that respect, aren't we? Because as I sit here, I'm looking up at my notebook archive and tracking back to July 18 when I got my first A5 Castelli. And I've had exclusively that notebook ever since. Every time I run out, get another one. And then I'm holding, as we record, a pen. Click. That's a Miffy pen. And I bought 60 of them because I realised I like them.
I guess I am set for life.
Notebooks, pens. It kind of sounds a bit mental, but you know.
Yeah, it is. I mean, this is probably why we cancel each other out and compliment each other so much, Jake. But I did find the ultimate notebook that I loved, the Ulwich notebook, but they had stock issues and it's never been in stock past 2020, past the pandemic. So I've had to find new notebooks. And really, it's just a nice little outlet for the relatively cheap outlet for some retail therapy, and you will use them eventually. Mm. And there was one I bought in one of the 100 yen shops, one of the Watts shops we went in. And again, talking about catch copy and all that, this one says on it, "Sending you some smiles. May this wonderful day begin a future filled with joy and blessing for you. Love and flower. Happy days." So I guess I'll look at that every day while I'm making notes about whatever we're doing.
Oh, your mention of books has actually made me think of a quest that I completed incredibly quickly, which was I'd recently watched the Journey to My Heart documentaries. TV travel series that Nippon made that had various artists and people from Japanese culture going around the world. And two of them have Miyazaki and Takahata. And Miyazaki's one is him going to the south of France and North Africa following Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, the author of The Little Prince, who was a male pilot. And he talks in the documentary about how much he loves Wind, Sand and Stars, which isn't as well known as The Little Prince, but he loves it the most, which is an autobiography. And he loved it so much, after making the documentary, he painted a new front cover for it. And in Japan, the book's been reprinted with that Miyazaki cover. And then we were in not even like a fancy bookshop, really, just a generic shop that I think it was, there was like DVDs. It was kind of a CEX type vibe.
Wasn't it Book Off? Wasn't it the big Book Off we were in?
Was it?
I've kind of the big track. Book Off that was,
on the corner.
At the bridge
in Kyoto.
Yeah.
It was actually above the Watts. So we were in the Watts.
That's what I'm thinking.
Went all the way to the top and worked our way down.
Yeah. So separate shops rather than all in the same. Anyway, just turned the corner and there it was. Really easy. And I can't read a word of it, but that's fine. I can read it in the English translation, but now I've got the front cover that I can admire, and it's a lovely A6 size.
Yeah, oh yeah, Jake, I absolutely love Japanese books. Like, I could have easily bought so many volumes of manga that I recognize, knowing that I couldn't read it. Like, they have they're currently doing deluxe editions of the entire works of Kazuhiro Otomo, and I really love his comic Domu, which is currently out of print in English. And I was like holding it in my hand, saying, like, do I want to spend 20 quid buying this and not really being able to read it, but just, like, you know, lap up the imagery? And I decided, no, I'm going to put that back on the shelf, and that can be my thing that I'll come back in 3 years' time and buy next time we're here. How did your quests go down, Steph?
I had, like you guys, one failed quest, which just appeared, I think, when we got to Tokyo, and I realised how many grab machines had Chainsaw Man merch in them, featuring, most importantly, Pochita, who is a really cute, like, orange dog with a chainsaw coming out of his head. He's so round and jolly looking, and it seemed like the only way you could get merch of him was to play the grab machines. So I spent an unholy amount of money going on, like, every claw machine I could to try and win this guy, and I didn't, so very sad about that. But, you know, it wasn't something I was expecting to do while we were there, so I didn't really lose anything. Just a lot of money in 200 yen increments. And then my other kind of task that I'd set myself was to get another little frog, ceramic frog, because I got one last time we went. I don't even know where I got it last time, a kind of random little covered market. Was just selling really cheap little frog statues. So I thought it would be nice to get him a friend. And I found a really nice one in Kyoto when we went to the bamboo forest. We went past this really nice kind of row of shops that were selling a lot of little handmade items. And one was a nice ceramic shop that had a lot of really nice bowls and stuff, but also little kind of hand-carved tanuki and frogs and toads and stuff. So yeah, I got a tiny one of those, which was very nice, and now he's sitting above me on the shelf next to the 2019 frog. So yeah, frog corner was a success, even if chainsaw dog was not. I even got, as well, in those last 2 days, it was probably tiredness and the, like, tunnel vision of, like, the mission to get this character. Whenever I saw something orange and round, I thought it was that.
Just you looking up at the sun.
Yeah.
I'll get you one.
Must get. I think Michael pulled out, like, an orange item, like, from his bag at one point, and I was like, oh my god, you got one! No, it's not that.
It was so funny that that's what defined our kind of 1.5, 2 days in Tokyo, was we were looking for capsule machines, claw machines, and trading cards. And everywhere we looked, if we saw any shop that looked like would have any of those things in, we'd go straight in. But Steph, you did succeed. You made your boyfriend very happy, right?
Yes.
As well.
Yes. I think it was when we were on one of the One Piece card shopping trips in Nagoya. We went into a big shop. I think it was called, like, Toyland or something, right? Or Toy Kiddie Land or something. I can't remember. But yeah, I just did the cursory, like, go all the way up and see what's in the shop. And then on one floor, it was just a whole floor of models and model making kits. And yeah, my boyfriend's really into making Gundam models at the moment. Very relaxing pastime if you have the patience for lots of small pieces. And they're quite expensive here. They're quite expensive to ship over. But I sent him a video of all of these Gundam models from one of the series and just said, you know, you've got 10 minutes to choose one because we're moving on. And yeah, managed to pick one up. and safely get it back. And I think it was about £10 or something.
Amazing.
Yeah, pretty cheap. And it survived the flight, even if the box got a bit banged up. But yeah, that was a big success. So,
has it been assembled yet?
The head, chest and arms have been assembled. We're still waiting for the body and the big sword to be done.
Well, we need to have updates when it's done. I mean, that's a particular nerdy avenue I've never gone down properly, but it's one that may end up making you friends with Guillermo del Toro.
Very true.
You never know. Any final bits of purchasing that we should shout out? I think I've exhausted everything I bought. Jake,
I bought loads of food. You know, like, I've got so much of it left. It's great. Every day I just go and grab another Choco Baby or a Crunky or a Candymany, or I got so much. It's brilliant. I went to see my mother-in-law today, bought her a bit of Look bar. She loved that. It's great. Should have bought more, if I'm honest.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the time of year where you just need a big old bowl of this stuff in front of you every night, and I am piling on those Choco Babies.
For me, it's the crunky balls, right?
Oh yeah,
where,
really
with
love
bits
the crunky
of cookie
ball.
In or biscuit or whatever. So good.
Yeah, good.
Gosh, I just want to go back. I want to spend more money.
Well,
let's do that.
And we've talked about models, but we haven't talked about the models at Small Worlds. And maybe we should save that for another episode, because we talk about everything else unrelated to parks and merch. And actually, I promise we did do other things.
Yeah, so we've done USJ, Ghibli Park, purchases from Ghibli Park and beyond. But yes, let's do a roundup. I mean, let's see how the next few weeks pan out, because there is there is the small matter of The Boy and the Heron, a brand new Hayao Miyazaki film coming out in cinemas, so we have to talk about that in some capacity. That might keep us busy through December, but we do have unfinished business with our trip to Japan. We need to do a big wrap-up of our experiences, our food, our other sites and experiences while we're out there, so we will come back to Japan eventually, definitely, to talk about Small Worlds and the strange sausage mascot that they had. But until then, you can keep up with us on social media. We're on Twitter at Ghibli Attack, Instagram, ghibliattack.pod. And do check out Instagram, because we've been posting loads of our pictures and some reels as well of our time there in Japan, including Ghibli Park highlights. And one I put out the other day for the 10th anniversary of The Tale of the Princess Kaguya's release, where we had Jake spinning around in the blossom in Ghibli Park. Not real blossom, the backdrop of blossom. It's a very beautiful little moment. You can also find Jake on Twitter at Jake H. Cunningham, or on Instagram at jake.h.cunningham.
And you can follow Steph on X/Twitter at _StephWatts.
And you can follow Michael on Twitter at MichaelJLeader, and on Instagram at Michael.Leader.
Oh, and why not check us out on Patreon as well? That's where we have our Patreon exclusive episodes, where most recently, what have we been doing? We talked about the films we watched on the plane journey to and from Japan. And also most recently, in the last week or so, Jake and I, we gave our opinions on the Beatles' final single, Now and Then. It's all kicking off on the Patreon. But listeners, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Tech is produced by Michael Leader, Jake Cunningham, Harold McShiel, and Steph Watts. Our music is by Anthony Ng.
Thank you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.